This actually has gotten a lot of attention, not just this year, but any number of years going back. Metro has been asking the federal government for a dedicated source of funding. Tom Davis, going back to his years as a congressman, has been trying to set this up for a long time. Congresswoman Norton has been a big proponent of this. The Maryland delegation has been a big proponent of this. And what the Metro members were on the Hill for yesterday was to ask Congress for the second installment of $150 million over 10 years. Now, the Obama administration has put into its budget $1.5 billion for Metro over 10 years. Now, that money has to be appropriated every year, and that would, in essence, become the dedicated source of funding for Metro. It also has to be matched by local jurisdictions, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia.
Now, did that ever happen before?
No. No, last year was the first year that Metro was actually given this money from the federal government. Keep in mind, though, even with the local jurisdictions matching this federal money that's coming in, that's only $3 billion. Over the next 10 years, Metro has outlined capital needs of $11 billion. So it doesn't even get you anywhere close to what they need. So, yes, in some fashion or capacity, this is a dedicated source of funding that'll be coming in over the next decade. But I think what people are really going to start championing for, and what you're really going to start hearing about, is a sort of sales tax or some sort of revenue that will go directly towards Metro. D.C. member Jim Graham has said in the past that he'd like to see some sort of sales tax that goes directly toward the Metro system. And other transit systems around the country have systems like that in place where they will get a portion of a sales tax, and that's where they will get a dedicated stream of funding. Remember, Metro, before this money was coming in from Congress, was the only mass transportation system in the country that didn't have a dedicated source of funding. So that's why the Metro officials were on the Hill yesterday. What the congressional delegation was asking Metro was that they want a detailed account of how Metro is actually going to spend this money. And that's where the new general manager was coming in saying, okay, well, here are my top priorities, and this is what I'm going to do first. Most notably, what he wants to do is replace the oldest rail cars in Metro's fleet.
With respect to federal funding, though, isn't a little bit of reality needed here? This is the Congress that voted down a telework bill because of cost. It voted down same-sex partner benefits because of the cost. It voted down the National Science Foundation for basic research in the country. And it also voted down modernization of the Army so far. And so I think that members are likely to say, and you can tell me if this is what you're seeing, when they go back to their districts, they're going to hear, and you voted money for a subway in Washington, D.C.?
Right, exactly, Tom. And, you know, what we heard all along from Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn year after year was, I'm not having my taxpayers subsidize a ride on the Metro. And Metro's response to that is, well, 40% of the federal workforce rides Metro. So the federal government has a huge stake in Metro, so they should, in essence, be funding the system. I think the point was made yesterday that the Metro system, something like half of the stations actually directly serve federal facilities. And when you have stations like, you know, Smithsonian, Federal Center, Federal Triangle, Pentagon, those names are actually in the Metro stations, you see how many federal workers are actually affected by the Metro system. But yes, going forward, this money, while it has been set aside, we know any little change can happen every year, and it's money that's going to have to be fought for every year. And as I mentioned before, it's just a drop in the bucket.
And Adam, when you I know you follow Metro very closely, and is there ever any talk or serious discussion of trimming back the union contracts and benefits? Because labor, if you look at all these Metro systems, that's often the biggest – that matches capital needs in terms of their total costs.
Well, I think Metro would like to do that, but the union right now is actually locked in a pretty heated dispute with Metro about pay raises. And it's right now, I believe it's with an arbitrator who's trying to decide which side should actually win here. And it looks like the union's actually going to win out, and Metro over the next number of years is going to have to pay, in essence, a 9% pay raise to the frontline union workers. So add that on to Metro's tab of what it's got on its plate as far as a deficit and a budget shortfall. So that's coming there. You know, we'll see what happens.
Well, I want to get back to that sales tax question.
Right.
Would it be a county by county thing? How are they going to figure out that, because that kind of goes to Tom's point of folks in Oklahoma don't want to pay for our metro system. Folks on the Eastern Shore aren't going to want to pay for our metro system either.
Right. And I think it would be have to go along the lines of the jurisdictions that are served by the metro system. Those would be the ones that are paying this dedicated tax. Something like that, D.C. Councilmember Jim Graham, who's on the metro board, is thinking about exploring. He's raised that possibility at least. And, you know, that seems to be the fashion when you talk about any sort of dedicated stream that the metro system would have to go into in terms of getting anything remotely on a consistent basis coming in.
We talked a lot about safety when it comes to Metro. We have a grim anniversary that is coming up. And in the past year, Metro's board has added a couple of more members who do represent the federal government. In the time that that has happened, have you seen in your coverage any difference in how they interact with each other? Any difference in, I don't know, morale or hope for the future? I mean, have there been any changes?
Well, the makeup of the Metro board is one to be observed. I think everybody should, and it's open to the public. I would encourage anyone who's really interested to see how the inner workings of Metro operate to go down there on certain Thursdays. You can look it up on the Metro website when there are board meetings and go and watch how that board actually functions, because you'll get a good idea of some of the issues that actually surround the Metro system. And a lot of the issues go back to jurisdictional interests. You know, you have people from D.C. who are concerned about their constituents, Maryland from theirs, and Virginia from theirs. And that goes to, we're talking about fare increases now. Well, they're still not decided on what fares they want to increase because the members in D.C. are saying don't raise the bus, while the members in Virginia are saying don't raise parking, because they're all kind of interested in protecting their constituents. And so when you talk about the federal membership, that's been an interesting another element to it, because whenever a federal question used to come up and there wasn't that federal representation there, there was always this kind of going back and forth and, well, we'll get in touch with them and, you know, pushing it off and it'll come down the line. Now it's actually refreshing to have that federal presence there. They can cut to the chase and answer a question about anything that has to do with the federal government right now. In my opinion, I think it's been a welcome change for the Metro Board.
As far as safety measures are concerned, what changes are happening now? What can we see in the future? What's the latest on that? Just a recap.
And I think this is going to be something to keep an eye on as we get closer to the anniversary at the end of June from the Red Line crash, is that really what has Metro done over the past year to get safer? And I'm not sure that a lot of people can give a clear answer to that question. We don't know exactly what Metro has done to get safer. We know that they're now operating trains in a manual mode, and the human operator is now supposed to have more control over their train instead of a computerized system, which has been largely pointed to as one of the reasons of the crash last year. But I don't know that we can actually say that the Metro system has robustly improved its safety. What it is trying to do right now is develop this real-time monitoring system, and it's very technical, but basically it alerts Metro officials whenever there's any issue on the tracks, like what happened last year. It's obviously a very technical and very in-depth system that has to be put in place and tested rigorously. They're not close to putting that in place yet. So really, the system does have miles to go before it becomes safer.